All right, good evening. I trust that you have had a wonderful day today and a wonderful week. I have thoroughly been enjoying the springtime and all the beautiful flowers, and I love the flowering trees, and just to see all the blooming start and to see all the greens coming out, the leaves coming out, looking forward to a beautiful springtime and summer. But we are here tonight, and I trust that you're just as excited to be in God's house as we once again can get together in the things of the Lord. Of course, tonight we come together to sing songs and to pray together and to be encouraged in the things of the Lord, which we need more than ever right now. You'll be praying. I'm excited about what God's going to do in the past and in history when there has been something big on a large scale that has hit the population. God has done some amazing things with that, and people have been added to the church, people have been saved, people have been encouraged to get into the things of the Lord more. And so I am hoping and praying, and I trust that you would join me, that we would see a moving of people and our communities towards God in the coming days. And so I'll say more about that later, but looking forward to what God is going to do for us this evening. So with that, let's go ahead and grab our hymnals. 521 is the song, I Have Come From the Darkness. I Have Come From the Darkness. Join me with me as you are able. I have come from the darkness to the light of the Lord. I have come from the night to the day. He has guided my footsteps in the truth of his word. By his love he has shown me the way. I have come from the darkness to the light, to the light of redemption from sin. Oh, my soul will rejoice in his might, for my Savior dwells within. In the light of his presence all temptations depart, and the shadows of doubt are cast aside. With the radiance of sunshine he has entered my heart, where his Spirit of love abides. I have come from the darkness to the light, to the light of redemption from sin. Oh, my soul will rejoice in his might, for my Savior dwells within. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to meet this evening. God, thank you so much for all that you've done for us in your beautiful creation. God, thank you for all that you've done for us in life, financially, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, socially. God, we're so grateful for all the things that you do. Lord, thank you for taking us from the darkness to the light. God, so much in life can go wrong, and yet that one truth, you've taken us from the darkness to the light. That is amazing. God, I pray that we would rejoice in that. And Lord, but to see that you've done so much more beyond that. God, I pray that tonight would be a truly wonderful night to worship you and to bring our requests before you. And Lord, I pray that we would learn some wonderful things from your word. God, thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, let's go ahead and let's sing another song. Just a couple pages towards the back, 530. 530, this song focuses on the lost world that is out there, and we want to focus on that. The song is Rescue the Perishing. Folks, there are people out there that are dying, and we need to rescue them from that death. They're going to die, but we trust that they would die in the Lord. And so we need to be thinking and praying about how we can be more involved with that once things lift and we can get out there into the world. 530 is the song, Rescue the Perishing. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for thy labor, the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. All right, very good. All right, we've been going through Spurgeon's small book, The Power in Prayer, and it has truly been a blessing to me, and I think to you as well, as we encourage ourselves in the things of the Lord, like in the Gospel of Luke, where the disciples come in chapter 11, and they come to Jesus and say, Lord, teach us to pray. And I need to learn to pray, and I think that you do as well. Prayer is such a wonderful, powerful tool, but we need to learn how to pray. And of course, we go to none other than Jesus Christ to learn the intricacies of prayer. And so we're looking at the power in prayer, and I hope that you're learning some wonderful tools to help you to be able to pray. Most recently, we've been looking at the chapter that has been entitled Our Order and Arguments in Prayer. And so we're learning the order of prayer. We've learned that already. And then the argument in prayer. Arguing with God. Well, not arguing with God, but arguing for God. Arguing in our own selves and petitioning to him for, honestly, it boils down to this, for who he is and what he has said. And that he would live up to who he is. And that's what we need to come boldly before the throne of grace and not remind him, because I think that he knows who he is. I know he knows who he is. But I think to remind us of who he is and come boldly before the throne of grace to petition to him for who he is and what he has said. And so tonight we're going to look at another petition that we bring, another argument that we bring before God. And it is the only true God. Question, is God the only and true God? Well, there are other gods out there, although they're not gods. They're what other people call as gods. We would not refer to them as gods. They are false gods, false leaders. And so we would not agree to the fact that there are any other gods. But in light of what the world thinks, we know that God is the only and true God. He is God. And so tonight we're going to learn that we can argue or petition that very element, that he is the only and true God. Take your Bibles and let's go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings is the passage that I think spells it out very clearly. And it, of course, it is the passage in which Charles Spurgeon uses to make his point on arguing the fact that he is the only true God. 1 Kings, and let's go to chapter 18. 1 Kings and chapter 18. I'm having a hard time turning in my scriptures this morning, or this evening, excuse me. 1 Kings chapter 18. And let me give you the context of 1 Kings chapter 18 really quickly. Israel had been going against God, had begun worshiping false gods, and certainly not the true God, maybe at times claiming Jehovah, but not practicing it, and certainly even in other false gods, erecting other false gods to worship. At this time, we find King Ahab and Queen Jezebel leading Israel, and because of it, there has been a famine that has come across the land, a three-year famine. We find ourselves in 1 Kings chapter 18 in the last year of that famine. And God wants Elijah the prophet to go to King Ahab and Jezebel and to confront them concerning the sin of Israel and and what comes from that, the famine in the land. It is Israel's fault because of their sin, and they need to be confronted because of their sin of the worship of false gods. And so, Elijah obeys that command, and he goes to King Ahab, and we find them in a conversation concerning whose fault it was that there was no rain. And so they agree to go to Mount Carmel, which was the site that was regarded as the sacred dwelling place of Baal. Interesting. Of the place that Elijah picks. This is the place of Baal himself. The place where they're going to go and prove who is the only and true God. Anyway, Ahab and Elijah get into a conversation, and it is agreed that they're going to meet on Mount Carmel, and it is going to be decided once and for all who is the true God. And so let's go ahead, and we find ourselves in chapter 18, and let's start in verse 17. And I'm going to read some verses here to just catch you up to where we are at. So 1 Kings chapter 18, and let's start in verse 17. I'll read just a little bit, and then I'll stop, and we will I'll continue to explain the passage. Again, 1 Kings chapter 18, starting in verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, and Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. Notice verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Okay? And so here we are. There's the proposal. And it comes this way. You know, basically, we're going to decide who God, the true God is once and for all. And whoever's God hearkens unto this cry, then he is declared the true God. I wonder, do you think Elijah was concerned who was going to be the winner of this competition? I don't think so. I think that Elijah absolutely knew that God was God. Now, let me say this, as we learn tonight to argue who the only true God is, we don't go to God in prayer as we say, God, if you're the true God, would you? We might say that, but we're not really wondering if he's the true God. We already know that God is the true God. But it gives God an opportunity to prove himself to the world and to our people that God is who he said he is, and he will act upon the fact that he is God. And so these people are confronted with this competition of who the true God really is. And Elijah knows who it is, but he is going to prove this very day who the true God is. And so we continue on in verse 22. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. So we're at a place that is considered the place of Baal. We're here with 450 prophets of Baal and one prophet of the Lord. Everything is set up for Baal to win, except for the fact that we know better. All right. Verse 23, let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, choose you one bullock for yourselves and dress it first, for ye are many, and call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Wow, can you imagine what these people are going through? And of course they go till midday and nothing happens, and Elijah gets up and rather mocks them and said, what's wrong with your God? Is he sleeping? Is he on a journey? Is he doing something else? Of course, he's not really asking the question. He knew that there's nothing to the fact of Baal being a god. You wonder what the people are going through during this time. What is wrong with Baal? Why isn't he answering? Nothing is taking place. And, you know, as he said, they need to be awakened. But let's continue on into verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, and as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood on in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it a second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou, hast turned their heart back again. And we stop there with that verse. Notice the very words of Elijah in verse 36. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. You know what he's saying to these people? He's saying, God, Elijah is saying, God, show these people today that you are the one and only true God. Show these people today that you are the one. It's as if he is praying, he says, God, would you today do this work so that your name is magnified and people know and are convinced that you our God. God, for that very reason, would you answer my request today? And so we see here the argument of God being the only true God. What is it in your life you are convinced that it is God's will? You know it would be right. Maybe people would be saved. Maybe that God would grow our church. Maybe that God would do something in your family that you know would bring him that honor. And people are aware of it and people are praying. And you would go before the throne of grace boldly. And folks, I want to tell you something. This takes boldness and this takes great faith. But to go before the throne of grace and say, God, for your name, for who you are, that my family, that my congregation, that my neighbors, that my relatives, that the people around me, that they would know and be convinced that you are almighty and all-powerful God. God, for that reason, I argue today, would you do it for your sake and for their sake? That's really what we're learning. You know, as you think about that, that's bold, that's scary, that's hard. And I have wanted to pray that prayer, and I've had a hard time sometimes. We say, what if God doesn't do it? We go back to Elijah. You know, did he question God? What if you don't do this? Does it mean you're not God? What if you let me down? Folks, I'm going to tell you something. God's not going to let himself down. Now, I don't think that we ought to go and say, God, if you're God, would you give me that motorcycle today? Remember, we pray things in God's name, in his will, according to his will. But as it is in accordance with God's name and his will, as we know that it would be God's will, then we can come in faith and boldness before the throne of grace and we can say, God, would you show today? Would you prove today? Would you show people today that you are God, you're on the throne, and that your will is going to be accomplished? And Lord, because of that, would you do your work this day? And what did God do? What did God do? Look at verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. He did it, folks. Were you concerned? Elijah wasn't. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, notice, L-O-R-D, capital, the Lord Jehovah, he is God. He is the God, the Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, take it the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. Wow. Amazing. Amazing story. Was God true? Did God live up to his name? Did God live up to who he is and what he was? Absolutely. And brothers and sisters, we can claim God in his name and his character as well. As we come before the throne of grace, God, would you show yourself strong to people? Spurgeon says, oh, by your deity, by your existence, if indeed you are God, and he knew he is and was, now show yourself for the help of your people. And again, I say, folks, boldness, boldness. I want to encourage you to take God and who he is, the one and only true God. God, would you show yourself strong? I'm praying for God to show himself strong to Faith Bible Church. Last week, I think it was then that I mentioned that we're praying. As the Grimes leave, we need prayer. Or we need youth leaders. And I have mentioned to a few of you, and I mentioned even to all of you, I am praying that God would show himself strong and provide for that need. I am under the impression and belief that God wants to supply us with the right leadership. And I am praying that God would do it for his name's sake, for his character's sake, for your sake, that you would see, folks, that God is God and he is going to provide his people with his leadership and with his help. I can't tell you exactly how God's going to do it, but I am praying that God would do it and that we as a congregation would see God's goodness. Folks, there's many more prayers behind that prayer that we need to see God work. Lord, would you provide for the needs of this church? God, would you help there to be more people to minister? God, would you help us to get out into our community and evangelistically give outreach so that we can see people come in? Brothers and sisters, I've been praying recently, even yesterday, by myself here at the church, praying that God, you would open up more doors at Christmas time. I believe that we need to have a bigger effort at Christmas time to get people to come in and that we can share with them the Jesus that came to seek and to save that which was lost. To show them who Jesus is, and at Easter time to show them the risen Christ that lives for them today and is not dead, and that he was buried and rose again for them on the third day according to the scriptures, that we could reach out to our first responders and show them that we care, and reach out to our community and the children at Vacation Bible School, and reach out to people at different times of the year. Oh, we need to do more, and I'm praying that God would give us the people, God would give us the tools and the wisdom to reach out evangelistically to our community. Oh, that we would grow and we'd get more families. There's more prayers that we have to offer up before the Lord that wants to do these things, folks. And I think he's waiting for us to come boldly before the throne of grace and petition his trueness and his deity, his character, his name of who he is. I think that the reason why we don't see it is because there's a bunch of scared Christians that are scared to pray boldly like this. I want to encourage you tonight. Let's pray boldly. Let's argue the fact that God is the only true God, and we want people to see. I want you to see, brothers and sisters. I want my children to see. I want my wife to see. I want myself to see. I want us to see that God is God, and he's going to do his work. Would you join me in bold prayer according to the character, nature, and name and existence of God? That he would do his work, folks. I believe that we can do this. Oh, me of little faith, I know my faith is small, but he is big. And God said, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, he would move or remove mountains. I'm excited, and I'm waiting for God to do his work. I trust that you would be as well. Very good. I trust that you will be encouraged with this. All right, you have your prayer sheets in front of you, and I trust that you'll take the opportunity to look at those and go down through and see what God is doing. God is doing work in our people's lives. Many of you have needs, physical needs, that you need healing in many cases. Maybe you need a prayer for a procedure that's coming up, and I know you have relatives or yourself that have things that are coming up, and we need to pray. Maybe God has recently delivered in some way, and we need to praise and thank the Lord. We have other needs that need to be met. I know there's financial needs out there. There's spiritual needs, people that are wandering from the Lord that need to get back to the Lord. We have neighbors that need to be saved, and brothers and sisters, we need to be praying for opportunities here soon, that God would give us those opportunities, that people would be saved. Pray for them by name. Pray specifically. Let's order our prayer. But let's pray that God would do the work with all these needs. And as you look down at the list of things, you pray specifically for those things, that God would do his work. And you can pray boldly that God would do his will. And we don't always know if God is going to heal, that God is going to do certain things. But you can pray that his will would be done for sure, and that his name would be honored and glorified because of it. And so you'll be praying for those. Pray for our missionaries. God would help them. Tough days, tough times. Continue to pray for the safety for the Risingers in Uganda. Pray for Servant's Heart Camp. Not sure what to do with camp this summer. They need wisdom, and that God's will would be done. And And so just really pray for that ministry. Would you pray for the Duartes in Brazil? I was able to, me and my family were able to get on and talk to them through Zoom. Or no, it wasn't through Zoom. It was actually through an app on the phone called WhatsApp. And we were able to connect through video with them. And they were delighted to see us and hear from us. They are actually in the same time zone that we are, believe it or not. But we were able to connect with them late last week and to see their faces and see little Eliana and to see Jed and Gloria. And we were able to talk with them last week. Actually, when we talked, I think it was Saturday evening. And they had just completed their first service on Saturday evening since coronavirus had hit there and all their lockdown. And so Saturday night, they were for the first time able to open up and have a meeting there. And they were just thrilled to talk with us and let us know how things were going and delighted to hear from us as well. And so continue to pray for them as they study language. Of course, Jed is more proficient, but pray for Gloria as she studies. But also for contacts and the opening up of things that they can start to get working with the people there. And so continue to pray for the Duartes also. Pray for the rest of the missionaries that God would bless in what is going on around the world. And so pray for these things that God would bless. I'm going to go ahead and lead us in a word of prayer. And when I'm done, I trust that you, as you turn off the video, you as a family or as an individual will bring these requests before the Lord and be praying. Pray for wisdom for our church and to help us to know how we get back to operation. I've talked to many of you, and many of you said, Pastor, we're ready to move forward and do something so that we can begin to meet again in some way. And so you'll be praying as we endeavor with that. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, would you please be with us? Would you meet our needs? We need you desperately. Our world needs you. We need Jesus. Lord, would you help us as we study your word, as we learn how to live by you and by your name and learn to pray. I say like the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. God, help us. Would you do great and mighty things? God, we're looking for you to uphold your name and your character and who you are. God, would you show to this church, Faith Bible Church, who you are and that you love to meet our needs and answer our requests, that you have our best interest in mind. God, would you live up to your name? Would you provide for us the youth leaders that we can use, Lord? You know what's best in your timing and who, but God, would you do it? And would you show yourself strong? I'm reminded of Loretta Stevens, who passed away this last year. I remember when she came to me and she said, Pastor, I'm going to pray that God would provide the leadership for our youth, and I believe God's going to do it. Oh, she had that faith. And Lord, for your name's sake, would you do it? For the people's sake, for our faith's sake, Lord, would you do that soon? And would you lead and guide in that wonderful way? And Lord, so many other requests behind that that we're looking for you to do. And Lord, would you prove yourself faithful and strong to this people at this church and to the people around us in our world? Lord, would you do these things? Lord, would you heal the folks that need healing? Would you provide financially for the folks that need finances? Lord, would you provide stability to those people that are struggling emotionally, mentally? Lord, God, would you give us faith and trust in you for us all who need spiritual encouragement? God, would you increase our faith and help us to rise above in Jesus for the faith and the sake of the gospel? Lord, would you please do great and mighty work in the coming days? Lord, we need you. We need you. God, be with all the requests that are before us. We're asking you to do wonderful things. Thank you for this wonderful night to worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It's been a good evening. I trust that you have been encouraged. You'll be praying about the services on Sunday. Looking forward to those, and I'll be recording those here soon. And so you pray for me as I get those together. Looking forward to what God is going to do. Until then, thank you for joining, and we'll see you soon.